Okay, so Dr. Huri Berberian is the director of the Middle East Studies Program at Cal State University. She's a historian, very, very formidable historian. She doesn't like me to compliment her, but she's also a graduate of our very own history department here at UCLA, works on Iranian Armenian history, and without complimenting her even further, let me welcome her to the stage, to the podium.
Thank you for staying. I'm pleased to be chairing the last panel, not because it's the last panel, but because it's probably the best panel.
Yes.
Of course, I have no control over it. But our first speaker, whom you just met, is Bülent Bilmez. He is rumored to be also the official impersonator of Murat Belge. He is associate professor and head of the history department at Istanbul Bilgi University and chair of the History Foundation, as you just found out, Tarih Vakfı, in Turkey. He is the author of, he's the author of Chester Project, 1908 to 1923, a case study for the Eurocentric modern standardization process in modern Turkey, published in 2000. And he will be speaking today on egalophobia, the Armenian genocide, and confronting the past for a peaceful future. Please welcome him.
Hello again. It was difficult for me to decide whether I should read my paper or talk freely. But first, let me thank for the organizers, for Sebu, for inviting me, and also co-organizing another conference in a few weeks in Istanbul. Now, I've got this dilemma. I've got a paper written in front of me. If I read it, I will be possibly the only one who understands it. But on the other hand, if I don't read it, I may miss some points. I will try to do a mixture of it. Now, I haven't come here to talk about a specific issue. It's quite a general one. And I'm kind of, I dare to do this because after having taught for like 15 years on the Ottoman Empire or modern Ottoman Empire and Turkey, I've come to the conclusion that there are two main characteristics of Turkish official and social discourse preventing not only confrontation with the past, but also development of democratic culture in the country. One of them is lack of accountability or impunity. The other one is egalophobia, the topic of my paper today. I'm going to focus on the second one today, and I think by doing this maybe I can try to explain something that was told before me in the previous panel, why these PKK fighters are called Armenians in order to insult them more by saying terrorists or any other thing. How come that this term is even supposed to be more insulting than any other word? Now, in this framework, I'm going to discuss two different issues in a way showing how they are interdependent to each other. The first one is coming to terms with the Armenian genocide in the broader context of recent discussion on the collective memory and confronting the past in Turkey. The second issue is egalophobia as one of the main reasons behind, first, the unwillingness or impossibility of this confrontation, and secondly, for it's a kind of reason for not realizing an egalitarian relation between, for not realization of egalitarian relation between Armenia and Turkey, which is the topic of this panel. Now, although I mean, from my topic, you may not see the words, I mean, the relations between Armenia and Turkey. I think the two issues I'm going to discuss are totally intermingled with the issue of Armenia-Turkey relations today. And I'm not entitled to talk about the relation between Armenia and Turkey anyway. I'm not an expert on international relations, and I cannot claim that I have been following the developments in that sense in the last few decades. Although our foundation has been working on a documentary on the closed border dialogue between two countries, Turkey-Armenia relations in the last 20 years, and then I had the chance like to read more about it and then to find out more through taking part in that project. Now, the first issue, the collective memory and confronting the past, or confronting the infamous past, especially regarding the persecution of the Christian minorities, is really a story that one can say starts with the Armenian genocide in 1915, although many scholars say that actually there's a story previous than that, but I think the foundational role is played by the Armenian genocide in that sense. And we have been talking about collective memory in Turkey, official discourse, and then civil society discourse, and one can claim that there has been Turkey has been going through a kind of process that is usually represented as a painful experience of coming to terms with its recent past. And for some people, this is a revolutionary process based on confrontation with some neglected or silenced thorny issues of the 20th century. Whereas it can also be seen, and some people claim, that it can be seen as an unproductive process of narrow-minded discussions motivated merely by political opportunism. And I opt rather for the second one, although I know some people in this room wouldn't like to hear this. They insist to be optimistic while staring at, say why I'm saying this. And actually Ara was very optimistic this morning. Now, I believe that this story, I mean the Armenian genocide, as the basis of modern Turkey, played a determining role in the formation of the modern Turkish economic, social, and political structure. The suppressed place of it in the collective memory, the escape from the confrontation with this common guilt or crime, and especially the impunity or lack of accountability of the Kemalist state and Muslim society, or the majority in Turkey after the genocide, which was unfortunately, this is very important, usually neglected, unfortunately supported or at least consented also by the victorious Western powers after the First World War, paved the way for the continuous Turkish policy of denialism and even reproduction of the genocidal policies in the Republican Turkey, and also, as I said, has been playing an important role with the non-existence or problematic relations with Armenia. And this, I mean, I can count, I did in my paper, many cases of really positive signs of confronting the past, talking about many issues that people were not able to talk about even, although, I'm ashamed to say that the academia played the least role in this. It was done mainly by the civil society and then by some independent intellectuals. Here we are talking about something that is the cause of not being able to, the reason not why we cannot confront with this past is, as I will now elaborate on, is egalophobia, but on the other hand, it's also the reason for not being able to have a proper relation with Armenia. What I mean from agoraphobia is the actually continuation of the perception, superiority perception in the Ottoman Empire, as it was, I think Sunni was talking about the millet system. It cannot be seen as a kind of egalitarian, but it was not also a oppressive system. But it's very clear that it was an unegalitarian and very clearly defined. It's not far-fetched to say that it's a kind of Ottoman caste system where every group was supposed to know its place, its limit, and it was very clear how the people would be punished if they didn't do so. And this we witness very clearly at the beginning of the modernization process in the Ottoman Empire, end of the 18th century and the whole 19th century. The superiority complex of the Muslims of the Ottoman Empire did not disappear until the end of the Ottoman Empire, and it continued in the Republican Turkey. Now, this superiority complex, I mean, I can give you many examples, like and even one of the like founding intellectuals of the 20th century, Ziya Gökalp, could say at the beginning of the 20th century that we should take the technology sciences from the West, but our culture is still superior, our moral is still superior, and this is the story of 100 years really. And this story becomes more complicated because accompanying to this superiority complex, which is the continuation of the traditional pre-modern times, now there is inferiority complex towards the West, anything Western. And the Armenians are unlucky in this story because although it's only stereotype, clichés, again, we have been talking about this today. Armenians, just by some representatives of it, were symbolically seen those who have profited from this modernization process, because there were now new sources of power that was used by the Christians, not only Armenians, by non-Muslims actually, Jews as well, and now it's in a way, this while the superiority complex is there, being Muslim is makes one superior. But those non-Muslims who have become modernized, civilized, which every Muslim intellectual now aspires to be, seeks to become, create or become a source of inferiority. At the same time, this inferior and superior feeling is something that we can not maybe speculate on, but we can find examples. A very good example, which is actually recently disputed because it was a question in the university entry exam. There are different sources tell us different stories, but the main message is that one Christian Ottoman subject goes to the police station and complains about a Muslim who called him Gavur in Fidel, and then the policeman or the commander tells the Muslim off and say, haven't you learned yet? We don't call Gavurs Gavur anymore. And this is for me a very important thing, because this continues. This is the kind of forced toleration. Tolerance as almost a negative term. That it's not something that that internalized, it's not something that I'm convinced to do so. Don't you see? These modern laws, modern regulations don't allow us to call them Gavurs, but they are Gavurs anyway, that's between us. Now, this is very important to read that mindset. And when it was asked in the entry exam this year, August wrote about it. Students were supposed to comment on this anecdote, what it means. Of course, the answer was Ottoman system was an egalitarian one. They prevented any kind of discrimination, ethnic or religious discrimination. Now, what does this have anything to do with the confrontation? Because confrontation with the past or recognition of the genocide or relation with Armenia and Turkey. You can see that, first of all, confronting with the past, any attempt from the state or from the officials, you see that it's a kind of very instrumentalist. It is something, when I heard today the presentation on the Native Americans here, indigenous Americans, I had the same feeling. They are not the same, at the same level. They are like semi-human almost, and they are inferior. In that sense, you cannot even look into the eyes, always from above. And if you actually accept that this is a massacre, this is a genocide, you can do that for your equals. You it may be a mistake. It's a mistake that you killed those peoples, but it cannot be a full accomplished crime. I think in order to, not only about the Armenian genocide, in order to come terms with this past, and you can be sure it didn't finish, neither the massacre nor the suppression in the Republican Turkey, not only about the Christians, but also about non-Sunni Muslim groups or non-Turkish groups. And then we can see that actually the main motive behind this avoidance is the fear of being treated as equal, being equal with the others, with the minorities, with the inferior ones. And this comes up in text, this comes up in daily life today, and then this this is very problematic also. I mean, both in the case of the genocide, of course, recognition of the genocide and Turkey and Armenian relations. And you Armenians living abroad have become like civilized, modernized, something that I don't approve, but most of the people in Turkey and the regime adore it, like admire it to be civilized. And this is a problem that they come to these countries and then come across with the professors, acknowledged professors, acknowledged businessmen, and all politicians. And this is what is kind of, again, evokes this phobia, this fear. I call it phobia because it's not it's an irrational fear in general, because I think getting rid of that fear or having an egalitarian relation wouldn't harm the interests of the majority either, if I only could convince them about that. Don't worry, nothing will happen is the feeling. Now, coming to Armenia-Turkey relations, in this documentary preparation, we came across so often that the Turkish statesmen treat Armenia as a kind of, again, second-class state. They love talking about how bad it's governed there, how economic conditions are bad. You can see a kind of reflection of the same relation with the own Armenians. The problem is again the inferiority complex comes in, because these divisions, diaspora Armenians, make everything more complicated. If it wasn't there, they didn't convince those great powers or Western powers, it was very easy. Open the border. Maybe it's difficult to convince Azerbaijan, because maybe my colleagues will talk about it when we talk about Armenia-Turkey relations. I think Azerbaijan's role is determining. But if we get rid of that problem, for Turkey, it's no problem. They would open it and they would colonize it. They would, because they are superior, no problem. Economically, culturally, there's no problem. This is the perception of it. And then a very similar thing happened in southern Kurdistan anyway, in Iraqi Kurdistan. You can see that many businessmen and statesmen go there and they've got no problem to call it Kurdistan, although to recognize that Kurds live there. I know this sounds weird, but it's it needs to be recognized. In Turkey, this is the case. It's not enough that you exist, you must be recognized. And this is the case for the Kurds. They are now recognized, but on the other side, they do, when you can see that. I mean, these less civilized, inferior people, Kurds, again, the same relation, if we will go there, we will dominate both the space and the people is the idea. And I think dealing with this egalophobia, with this phobia, for us, the intellectuals of that country, NGOs, civil society of the country, is something we should do not only for justice, but also for the democratization of this country. It's very important to see that, I mean, it's not something that we should tolerate. We have got different ethno-religious groups in that country, but we should, it's something that should be seen as a richness, and in that is possible only, not again, for example, this is a very problematic discourse, to see this as a richness, but not with a superior complex, really as equals. We can live in this country and everybody can be happy in that country is the problem. And I think the Western okay, 10 more seconds, excuse me. I think the and the I was asked by Naiman, I mean, whether the Turkish government do anything more, anything positive about the recognition of the genocide. Oh, now I'm adding it, like Turkey-American relations. I think yes, but not because they are better or worse, because we can work harder. We in Turkey can work harder, you can work here harder towards that direction, and then yes, Turkey government will have to do more about the recognition and about better relation in the region. Thank you.